In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is the Sunday before Nativity, and in just 3 days we'll be celebrating the Feast of the Nativity of Christ. In the secular society that we live in, we've already had the general celebration of Christmas with all the materialism and hubbub that entails. Contrary to it being treated as a fasting period prior to Nativity, it's treated as one big party starting on Thanksgiving all the way through December the 25th. And then on December the 25th, people are already taking down their decorations, putting their Christmas tree on the curb, because so messed up is their understanding of how one goes about celebrating a feast. And one of the advantages that we have celebrating the Feast of Nativity on the old calendar is that by the time we celebrate it, all that stuff is over. People have kind of gone back to normal, and it enables us to focus on the feast in a spiritual way that perhaps would be a little bit more difficult were we doing it at the same time as everyone else. Today we read about the ancestors of Christ according to the flesh. Among those ancestors, we heard the name of Rahab the harlot. There are a few women that are mentioned in the genealogy, and all of them have an interesting history, and they wouldn't have been included in the names if there wasn't something interesting about them. But as I said, she was a harlot. She lived in the city of Jericho, and we read about her in the book of Joshua. Now, one of the things that's kind of confusing in English, I think probably English is the only language in which this is an issue, but when we talk about Joshua in English, and then when we talk about Jesus Christ, the connection is not quite so obvious, although if you've studied the scriptures a lot, you probably know that Jesus' name in Hebrew was Joshua. But in Greek, Slavonic, Russian, just about any other language, the names are the same, and so the connection is immediately apparent. And there's a lot of symbolism that the fathers point out. One of them is that Moses, who was the giver of the law, was able to bring the people right up to the entry of the promised land, but he wasn't able to bring them all the way. It took Joshua, because the law points us to Christ, but in and of itself, it can't save us. It requires Joshua, and the very name Joshua means Savior, or the Lord saves. And the very first place that the Israelites had to conquer when they crossed over the River Jordan was the city of Jericho, which was a very strong, fortified city. Very wealthy, and how they could have done this on their own would have been an impossibility. But Joshua, before he crossed the River Jordan, sent spies. He sent two spies into the city of Jericho, and we're told that they went to the house of Rahab the harlot. Now you might be saying, well, why would two Israelites go to a house of ill repute? Well, you have to keep in mind that what constitutes a house of ill repute is a little different today than it would have been back then. And basically, this would have been an inn. This would have been a place that visitors would have been able to go to. But she also was engaged in other things as well. And so she had her past. We're told that after the spies came to dwell with her, that the king of Jericho found out about it. So he sent soldiers to ask her to send the men out, because they figured that they were Israelite spies. And so Rahab told them that, you know, she didn't know where they came from. They came and they went. If you hurry, you might be able to catch them. They just left. And she hid them. She hid them on the roof of her house underneath some stalks of flax. And the king's soldiers went out, and they went in the direction of the River Jordan, assuming that that's where they would have headed back to the Israelite camp. And then we're told that she went up to the rooftop and she spoke to the two spies. And it says that she said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came up out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, one thing that's interesting about this is that Jericho was a very big city, a very populated city. All these people were aware of what the Israelites were getting ready to do, but they were taking some confidence in the strength of the walls of their city, and there wasn't any effort to send ambassadors to the Israelites to negotiate peace. There wasn't any effort for them to repent, to embrace the God of Israel. But yet here we have this harlot, and she's heard the same message, but in her heart something stirred, and she believed in this God that she had heard about, and she hoped that there would be mercy for her. And the spies told her that, yes, you've saved our life, we'll save yours. But they told her that she was going to have to do a couple of things. They said that your whole family is going to have to stay in this house of yours. And this scarlet cord, which Rahab let them down after they had this conversation, because her house was right on the city wall, this scarlet cord needs to be hanging out the window so that we'll be able to identify you. And if there's anyone in your family that's not in this house, when we come and we take this city, then their blood's going to be on their own head and we'll be innocent of our oath because they didn't do what we told them to do. And so after they had this conversation and Rahab suggested to them that rather than going to the river, that they go into the hill country for 3 days, wait until they've given up the search, and then go back to the Israelite camp, she let them down the scarlet cord. Now, the fathers tell us that this scarlet cord is not just scarlet just by random chance, but that this is symbolic of the blood of Christ. In fact, it's been said that there's a scarlet cord that runs through the entire Old Testament. When you read the genealogy that we just read today, all those names don't mean anything if you don't actually familiarize yourself with the Old Testament. But the Old Testament, St. Augustine tells us, is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So you'll understand the New Testament better by reading the Old Testament, and of course you'll understand the Old Testament better by reading the New. So it's very important that you do both. These spies also were told by one father that they represent the law and the prophets. So she received the message of the law and the prophets, but she placed her hope in that scarlet cord which represented Christ. Then the Israelites crossed the River Jordan and were told that they marched around the city of Jericho for 6 days. They went around the city one time each of those days, and they didn't make any sound. And this must have seemed a very strange sight to the people of Jericho, and maybe after a couple of days when they didn't see them making any effort to take the city, there might even have been some mockery on the part of the people of Jericho. But on the seventh day, they went around the city 7 times. And after they went around the 7th time, they all at one moment began to shout and to blow their trumpets, and the walls of the city, we're told, fell flat, all except for that wall that Rahab's house was on. In the epistle reading, we heard selections from Hebrews chapter 11. The part that mentions Rahab actually wasn't read today, although it's read on other occasions. But she's mentioned among the heroes of the faith. It says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And also the apostle James in his epistle cites Rahab as an example of someone who showed that we're not saved by faith alone, but we're saved by faith that works. He says in chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had them sent out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The point being that she didn't just believe, she helped the spies, she received them into her home, and she also did what they told her to do. The fathers tell us that Rahab represents the church of the Gentiles. She lived in a city of immorality that was marked for destruction, but she received the two spies and believed the promise of salvation. If we would be saved, we likewise have to forsake the city of this world and trust in the messengers of Jesus. Most of those around us don't seem to be paying any attention. They're taking confidence in the strength of that city. They're wanting to ignore the inevitability of that judgment. But if we would be saved, we have to receive the law and the prophets. We have to familiarize ourselves with the scriptures, the Old Testament, including the New Testament. And then we have to have faith in Christ, because it's through Christ, through the blood of Christ, his sacrifice for us, that we're saved. And if we will do that, if we will remain in the house, which represents the church, and not go outside looking elsewhere, we will be saved as well. Amen.